Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Taiwo Dukoya, the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Church. It is our prayer that the message you're about to hear will no doubt shape your destiny in Christ. Be blessed as you listen.
My text today is from John, the Gospel according to St. John in chapter 6. After these things, verse 1, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now, the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to prove him or to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them might even just take a little bite. So one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, distributed them to the disciples, and likewise of the fish, as many as they want. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets, fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." The interesting thing about the story is this. He had come across the river, and a great multitude followed him. Please follow me closely. I didn't know what the promise will read exactly, but I discovered that it's been the pattern. If the testimony is not saying it, the administration will be saying it, or the promise will be saying it. There's always a confirmation to the message preached. And I'm grateful to God because he gives confidence. We're talking the supernatural today. But please allow me, by the Spirit of God, to touch on multiplication, increase. In Jesus' name. Yeah. So they had followed, then crossing over, he saw a great multitude coming toward him. And they followed him. And the Bible tells us the reason why they followed him. Why did they follow him? Because they had seen the signs which he has done on those who were diseased. Now, the book of John, when we scarcely say they've seen the miracles, he refers to miracles as signs. And so if you go through the book of John, it's called that everywhere there's a miracle, there are signs. Hello? Classical miracles in the book of John are about 7, and they are referred to as signs. Hello? Is somebody hearing me? Glory be to God in the highest. So the reason they followed was because they had seen the sign. And so Jesus, now seeing them coming, said, "Philip, where?" Because if you read the other gospel, the other part of the gospel, or the other gospels on this same story, they'll tell that it was a desert place and the sun was setting. So desert place, there were no food, there were no food stores. And even if there, if perchance there'll be one or two, it was getting dark. So they were shutting down their stores, if there were at all. Because they gave those reasons in the other, in the Synoptic Gospels. So Jesus now looked at the situation and he saw them coming. They kept on coming. They kept on coming. It wasn't like this group. No, no, no. They kept on coming. They kept on coming. Oh, hallelujah. They kept on coming. Don't you know that's what God is doing now? They'll keep on coming. Jesus is Lord. They will keep on coming. You know why? Because they are looking for God. Because they are looking for Him. They will keep on coming. They will keep on coming. They will keep on coming. And second thing about this, why would they keep on coming? Keep on coming. That means that the popularity and influence of Jesus was growing. Hello? Oh, yeah. See, look. People can gather because of the phone. And people do gather because of the phone. That's why they will go to the beach for Star Mega Jam. Yep. Yeah. Thank God for experience. They'll go to experience. At least it's worship and praise. That's why they'll gather in churches too. In some cases. But let it not be that it's because of the phone. Let it be because of the signs. Let it be is because of the answer to their hard questions for which they've never found an answer before. That was why they gathered to Jesus. Yeah. And that's exactly what God is doing at this time. So he's telling us about the times that we're living in. A time of signs and wonders. You know, somebody was saying something. He said, don't you think that it's not so much what the Rotary Club is doing or what the Lions Club is doing. Anybody can do that. But when things like this happen, then even the Rotary Club will come. Even the Lions Club will come. We appreciate what the Rotary and the Lions Club are doing. At least they are giving of their substance. They are giving back. Hallelujah. But what when the child of God is ready to give back? And the giving back of the child of God is not just in food and drink. It begins with the soul of the people. You can give all the food you want. It doesn't change anything. It will only alleviate a short term. It will only give short term solution to a lifetime problem. So it doesn't solve it. But it's good that I wish many more people would give. But you see, you by nature are created to give. That's what I'm saying. And because Jesus will give of himself, people will never stop coming. He was there to die. But he knew why he came. It was about people. It was about God, and it's about God, it's about people. Some people say, I'm so spiritual, I'm so holy, and they hate people. So you begin to wonder, what's an anomaly? Some say, man, shandalaba, bunda, pushalaba, yes. I don't understand what the churches are doing today. Thank God the churches need to improve. So they followed him. They followed Jesus. And when they followed him, look at, like, man, they must be hungry. So compassionate. That's the heart of the miraculous. It wasn't, I'm getting popular now. Can't you see? They are coming to me. Hiya. Yes. Come to me. No. Say, they must be hungry. That kind of heart will never stop attracting people. Where can we? One of God said, please give them something to eat. But here I said, please come. Where can we buy bread enough to give them?
then they answer. So he said that just to test him. Can you imagine? Jesus was talking to you, but every word he says, which will result in a miracle for you, is a faith word, is a test word. But that's the way it is usually. You know, every of his word that will bless you, that same word can judge you. Not judge you for evil, to judge you on how much of it you understood or you are ready to take or you took. You see, every time the Bible talks about judgment, of the Christian, it's talking about how much of what he gave you that you took. Because that will determine how much of the crown you're going to get. You see, I was listening to a man of God on the internet, and he was explaining, and they said to him, they were saying, man, this guy, the way God moves in his life and the ministry, and of course, there were signs and there were proofs. So in the interview, he said, was saying something. He said, for example, when he said, the time has come when judgment will start in the house of God. He said, you know what it means? He said, in the house of God, judgment. He said, it's a measurement. He said, literally meaning of that judgment is measurement. God will measure you by how much he gave you and how much you took. How much you didn't take is your loss. The white throne judgment. Anybody went through the believer's class?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
So the white throne judgment, the judgment of believers, not the judgment, will be judged.
Yes, sir.
It is the reward seat of Christ. White judgment for the unbeliever is hell. For you, is what you gain or lose. Yes. Before I close. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So you can see that in every word of God, the word that will launch you, that will promote you, you know, you'll be measured by that word. Did you get it on? Or did you see it and with levity handle it? So it was a test. Glory be to God in the highest. Why was it a test? He knew what he would do. And how did Philip answer? Next one. Philip said, 200 denarii. So Jesus was getting the feelings he was looking for. After all these months and years that we have been working together, and you know that nothing takes us by surprise in our kingdom, because we belong to the kingdom that produced everything and anything that you can think of. Because I said, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed, were made from the word of God, that the things we see were not made of anything that is available. So God is able to produce anything. And you know, I was preparing in the evening yesterday, and I sat there and said, the law of faith is amazing. What is the law of faith? How does it apply to us? Two ways. The law of faith will produce an alignment to the system of God, or a total creation of new things. That's the law of faith. When it begins to operate in a man's life, it will get everything around him aligning to what God said and what God wants. Miracle, 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 miracle. And where they are not available, create it. The law of faith is the law of creation. He knew what he would do. He wasn't ruled by what was available and what was not available. So he knew what he would do. But see what Philip did? Philip operated from the carnal mind. From, when I say carnal, not sin, natural mind. And Jesus expects that though you are natural, but by now you should begin to approach your life supernaturally, because that's who you are. So Philip said that, okay, Jesus didn't blame him, but he knew what he would do. But definitely he wouldn't do what Philip was thinking. Now, if he was going to go by, how? Where are we going to get money? And if we get it, how much are we going to buy? It's going to be, you know, it's not going to be that being alarmed or that being surprised or being perplexed by. No. Well, the next thing that happened quickly, one of his apostles, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, yeah, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Okay. Does that sound the same way like Philip?
No.
No, not yet. Philip says, even this much cannot do anything for a bite. And that much, like, we think we can get that kind of money. He now said, you know what? I can see the crowd, but here's a little boy's food. Huh? Here's a little boy's food. How can you give me a little boy's food? For at least 5,000 men, and they're still increasing? We used to say that about 15,000 people. No. Church history and Bible history says there were between 35 and 50,000 people. And so somebody else said, Jesus was saying, let's feed them. And somebody said, this is a little boy's food, a four-year-old food. Please permit me. If you were there, won't you laugh at his stupidity? Exactly. But you see, the things of the Spirit, they sound stupid to the world. And so Jesus got the two answers he was waiting for, operating from your carnal mind as a natural man and stepping out in the Spirit. But even him, he stepped out in the Spirit, but he went back to the flesh. Come on, Peter. Left the comfort of the boat and stepped on the water and they walked. Then, but the waves. And when he saw, he started to sink. Can't you see that you are capable of both worlds? And what determines whether you win or lose is your mind. The weapons, though we are in the flesh, we war not after the flesh. So in other words, though we are in the flesh, we don't approach the challenges of life by the flesh through the flesh. But he knew what he will do. And so he took the bread. Hallelujah. Then he thanked God for it. Said, come on, go give them. As long as the rest of your life you are thinking God and people, and you're living a life of thanksgiving. Come, I said it to my dear. What I said in your Bible is that no curse, no sorcery, no weapon. As long as your focus is God, people, thanksgiving. Can't you see that is the highway of the miraculous? Can't you see why it has become important that we become sensitive to souls? Can I declare somebody's influence is just beginning? Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I've seen from nothing people who are ruling the world, from being a pastor in Fountain of Life Church. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven, not eight, not ten. I mean it from nothing. I mean nothing. They are ruling the world. This word of God is true. Somebody's time has just started. From this service in the name of Jesus. Woo. From this service. You see how Jesus got there, how he sustained it. He knew his mission and he kept a focus. I told him the story of somebody that I read. He said, this guy, few months of the year, he's won so many, I think that was last year, won so many as 120, 130 people into the kingdom, healed of dangerous and all kind of diverse sicknesses. Why? It's just like, I mean, an engineer or something. And then anytime he meets people, like, oh, hello, how are you? And so he said, what do you do? He said, I'm an engineer, but you see, I have two things I do. I'm an engineer and then I'm a soul winner. What do you mean by that? Then he explains. That's how do you get into this? Then the dialogue. He always makes sure that he gives them enough food that most of them get for their lives. And he operates like we're operating. And he's going to say, oh, by the way, you have a heart problem? Then I'll say, oh, my goodness. I'll say, yeah, let me pray with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh! And the guy said, what kind of man? He said, that's what I do. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. The greatest way to win souls into the kingdom is not by crusades. It's you telling them what Jesus has done. It's one-on-one. Crusades, yes, but it's one-on-one. The souls that stay is one-on-one. Because first-time experience, first-time testimony, and that's it. easier to believe because you know the person. You knew him before, you knew her before, you now know how they are today. And they're telling you this will happen. And they're telling you that they're telling you this story and you're able to take it. Whew. Thank God. Say, let them sit down in groups of 12s. A lot of grass in the place. And they sat down. And as he gave them, say, you go give them. And they began to give them. They began to give them. They are, oh my goodness. One thing I didn't tell them for service. Have you ever handled a 4-year-old, 5-year-old? Buy a chocolate bar and give them. Then they're trying to open. They say, please open. They are not patient. They say, open. Ah, you've given it to me. Open this thing. You know, I say, no, I want to share it to everybody. He'll tell you, wait a minute, I want to eat. You gave me. One of my sons say, ah, but I want to eat it. Didn't you give me? I say, yes, but I want to share. Hey, but I haven't eaten out of it. Hey, but I want to share. Then I have to convince him. I say, okay, oh, you want to share? Okay, all right. Because I will say, I'll preach the message on sharing. So I'm here. I say, okay. Otherwise, that's a little boy. So wasn't it a miracle that Andrew went in there and said, little boy, give me your food. And he gave it. And the little boy saw Jesus holding the food. And so Jesus now is sharing his food to disciples. And then disciples now was even now came to him and gave to him and started to eat and he didn't finish. But you know what it was? It was just small cracker, barley cracker, if you look at the Greek word, barley cracker, and two small fishes, smaller than, two pieces of fish, smaller than sardine. No, that's what they said. They called them minnows. So what is it you have that is lacking or that is diminishing? Where do you lack? Part of the life of the supernatural is that you are dealing with the God of all provisions. The God that multiplies. If he could make Isaac great in famine, if he will cause the covenant children to eat bread without scarcity in famine, what makes you think your case is different? You know what God told me? He said, let it be as dark as it can be. There'll be light in Goshen. In the name of Jesus, there'll be light in Goshen. And these are the people. That's why we have to teach these things clearly. We always have two options. To let the situation, our environment, dictate our future. Or to let the covenant word of God dictate our future. And by the time they finish eating, they gather together excess 12 baskets. There was nothing, but there was excess. Do you know that's how your life is going to be described? And my life in the name of Jesus? You say, but what makes it so? Because in John chapter 2, the beginning of signs and wonder, he turns water to wine. This is a multiplying God. You see, it's not according to the economy of Lagos State or Nigeria or the world. It's according to his riches in glory. So we insult God a lot of times when we limit him to our carnal thinking. I've seen God in places that I knew that if God did not manifest, I would be no more. In any way you want to think of it, in diverse, I've seen God. I'll be telling you a lie if I'm not saying what I'm saying. I say, look, you may look like there's nothing, but at the end, there'll be extra. In the name of Jesus, is it peace? Is it joy? Is it provision? Is it security? Come on, come on, come on, come on. This God never fails. Yes, believe me, he never fails. But he wants to be trusted. Nothing displeases him like being doubted. He said, really? Yeah. He said, without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's why it is a glorious year for you in the name of Jesus. That's why you hold your peace and you will fight your battles in the name of Jesus. That's why, see, now you see, he said, Jesus did it. And if you move further, just some few chapters, he said, hey, the works I do, you'll do. And greater than works and they shall you do. So I'm demonstrating this for you to tell you how to live life. You are in this world, but you don't belong to this world. You belong to the kingdom of God. You are the light of the world. There's no weapon formed against you that can prosper. But you got to know that. When you know that, you won't fight unnecessarily. You will sit down and things will happen. But you see, why will he say that? Because this is the heritage of everyone who is born again. Why? Because he explained it to Nicodemus. How? He said, hey, you are a rabbi, you are a teacher, come from God. Why? Because of the signs. How would they know that you are from God? And I say, oh, no, let me tell you this. Except a man, very, very, I say to you, very, very serious matter, except a man be born again. He cannot see, he cannot experience, he cannot have a knowledge, he cannot display, he cannot manifest what you see on me, which is the kingdom. So, see, don't look at me like it's a marvel. If you get born again, Nicodemus, you will do the same. He said, how can a man be born again? The Amplified makes it clear. He said, when he says, you know, except a man be born again, he said, except a man be born anew or from above. Come on, remember this? In John chapter 8, he said, hey, he who is from above is above. You are from the earth, so you think like the earth, you talk like the earth. The person from above talks like above. We reason from that position. That was what he expected of Philip. So you don't easily give up. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can't you see it's becoming more and more fun? Or is it a serious matter? Glory be to God in the highest. Somebody just say, ha! I can see my future is secured. Somebody just said it here. Now. Oh, yes. Somebody just said it while I'm preaching. Somebody just said, now, no. You've been afraid of the future too much. But it just concluded in your mind. Let's leave it. Right, I'll say, stand up. You know that there's nothing you can do that will make God love you more.
Yes, sir.
There's nothing you can do to make him love you more. If he loved you that much when you were in nobody, when you hated him and you were attacking him, he loved you until you gave your life. So if I were you, I'd just stay in his love. That's why I said, look, abide in my love. He's already there. Abide. When you abide, people who are there and who are not abiding, they won't see what you see. But you are all there. And that's by the way. And now says to him, he says, except a man be born again, he won't see the kingdom of God. And I say, what is born of the spirit is, what is born of the flesh is flesh. And what is born of the spirit is spirit. Come on. Nicodemus, understand that things are not just born carnally here. It's not just limited to what you see, what you hear, what you feel, what you touch, what you taste. We give birth in the physical, but may every physical birth still has another kind of birth. It is the spiritual birth. Come on, Nicodemus. Say you're a teacher of physics, you don't understand that. What do you know? What are you teaching? If everything you see is just physical, then what are you teaching? What do you know? Then he made one last statement. He said, verse 7. Do not matter that I said to you, you must be born again. 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So it's everyone who is born of the Spirit. You cannot predict a born-again child of God. You cannot predict a Christian. You can't predict him to limit him. You can't. That's why I just say he's the light of the world. And the light shines in the darkness. The darkness cannot stop it. It's the same thing. Can you see what I'm saying? And so he expects that you would do things like the Spirit, like the blowing wind, where you don't see the rain, you don't see the wind, but you are sure your valleys shall be filled with water in the name of Jesus. Now, I said, Pastor, are you teaching them to be lazy? No. This is harder work than the normal one. Harder work to trust God. You are diligent and yet you are trusting God. Because you know the giver of life in every human endeavor and human effort. He says, labor to enter the rest. That's the real labor, not the one. So it's everyone. So can you see that why he expected that? So when he says that, the works I do, you do, and greater will end. Said, then you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name, you cast out devils. You lay your hand on the sick and they will recover. You take poison, they will not hurt you. Come on. Hallelujah. You speak with new tongues. Man, you are an enigma. And so Peter and John now said, hey, silver and gold I don't have, but I know what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up. The man started walking. It's your time. Tell your neighbor, it's my time. It's our time. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says until now, the whole of creation is waiting for the manifest of the sons of God. Are there sons in the house? Turn to your neighbor, say, it's my time in the name of Jesus. The devil is a liar. Jesus is Lord. It's my time. I am created for signs and wonders. I am created for significance. I am an enigma to my generation. It's my time in the name of Jesus.
We know that you have been tremendously blessed by this message. For additional information and materials from Pastor Taiwo Odukoya, please contact us at the Fountain of Life Church, 12 Industrial Estate Road by PZ Industries, Off Town Planning Way, Ilukeju, Lagos. Visit our website at www.tfolc.org. Thank you. God bless you.